This is a broadcast of SmallCapVoice.com, a financial communications and investor relations firm. SmallCapVoice.com receives payment for investor relations and financial consulting services that it provides to its clients. You should assume that officers, directors, and employees of SmallCapVoice.com or financial analysts mentioned and their families hold a position and intend to trade in these securities for their own accounts. This is not an offer or recommendation to buy or sell securities. Information in this broadcast is presented solely for informative purposes and is not intended to be, nor should it be construed as, investment advice. As in all investments, an investment in the featured company carries an investment risk. Listeners should review the company thoroughly with a registered investment advisor or registered stockbroker. This broadcast does not purport to be a complete study of the featured company or other companies mentioned. Information used and statements of fact have been obtained from the featured company and other sources but not verified nor guaranteed by SmallCapVoice.com as to completeness or accuracy. Such information is subject to change without notice.
You're wired in.
SmallCapVoice.com.
Following is a presentation of SmallCapVoice.com, today's leader in investor relations, capital formation, and retail support. Now, with your online business briefing, SmallCapVoice.com's Stuart T. Smith.
Welcome one, welcome all to this online business briefing, where we shine a spotlight on some of the smartest and freshest plays here in the small and micro cap market. And as you just heard, I'm your host, Stuart Smith, and we're welcoming back to the show TerraTech Corp. They're trading under the ticker symbol TRTC. We're welcoming back the Chief Executive Officer for the company, Derek Peterson. Derek, how you doing today?
Stuart, good. Thanks again for having us on, as usual.
Absolutely. Well, it's been a big week. January 12th, 2016, here's the headline. TerraTech and Bloom announced definitive merger agreement. Company acquires one of California's highest volume medical cannabis dispensaries. To say the market enjoyed this press release so far this week is a massive understatement, but there's a lot going into this, Derek, and we'd like to start with the history of it. So how did this all come about?
Well, as everybody knows, I owned a piece of Bloom Dispensary. It was a company that we started a long time ago before we were willing to cross that, say, proverbial green line in the public company. We were operating this on the private side with some partners. And shareholders have always asked us, was there an intention for us to do an acquisition? And I always knew, being on both sides of the fence, it's a process I would have had to have recused myself anyway. So fortunately, we increased our corporate governance, as people have seen in the prior press releases, by bringing on independent directors. So a while back, the company decided to form a special committee that was made up of some other directors as well as our independents to kind of at least start taking a look at the opportunity to potentially merge with Bloom. And so they reached out to my partners on that side, and everybody started at least doing some preliminary talks months and months and months and months ago. And once it started to get a little bit more serious, both sides hired valuation companies and started to determine what they thought might be a fair and equitable value to push forward on a transaction. And like I said, there were a lot of moving parts from a regulatory standpoint, even up in the city of Oakland, to get city approval for a transaction like this. So fortunately, I give these guys a lot of kudos. It was a difficult thing to put together, and there were a lot of partners on the private company side. And again, it was a little difficult for me because I'm a very hands-on person to have to recuse myself and sit in the passenger seat during this process. But I think they arrived at a transaction at the end of the day that was extremely accretive. It was valuable for them on their side and accretive for shareholders on this side. And it was congruent with what I've always said is an important business strategy of ours, which is while we're focusing on our long game and the development of our businesses in Nevada, which anytime you're developing long game like that, you're putting out cash and hoping to get that return, 12, 24, 36 months down the line, balancing that long game with a short game and finding acquisitions that are kicking off cash flow in the short term. So this is a great example of that, and I think we got a good value. Again, they're one of the largest in the state of California. Their trailing 12 is somewhere around $14.5 million. And the beauty of it is, so much of those transactions happened from a cash basis because most of these businesses have to deal with cash. We didn't want to create any additional risk for shareholders in terms of valuation in case, some of those transactions in the past aren't auditable under GAAP standards, which is why they ended up pricing it on a go-forward basis, so shareholders are only paying over what happens over the next 12-month period. And it's capped. It's capped at a maximum. So if the company really does excel over the next 12 months, shareholders are, again, paying 1.5 times sales, but no more than, I think it's a $25 million cap. So if we wake up one morning and Bloom's doing $20 million over the next 12 months, they're not getting 1.5 times 20. It has a cap to kind of at least put some semblance of a limit on the expense from a shareholder standpoint. But it was received well in the marketplace, which tells us that these guys did their homework and proud of the steps that we made. And it's obviously a historical move for a transaction like this in and of itself. Sorry to be so long-winded, Stuart.
Well, thanks, Derek. No apologies necessary, and you went into good detail there on the transaction. Let's get into the economics just a little bit deeper than what the press release gave us. Can we redirect there and get into the nuts and bolts of this agreement?
Yeah. So, I mean, first of all, we have an additional period of time here that we're utilizing to make sure all the internal operations are done so from an audible standard, meaning the checks and balances are in place, the cash handling protocols are in place. So basically, because we deal with a lot of cash, similar to a casino, we've put a lot of those same checks and balances in the operations that didn't exist prior, which we brought in our auditing team and those types of people to change some of the operations. So we're using this time between signing the definitive merger and actually closing the transaction to make sure we get all the standards inside elevated, and we've hired a Sarbanes-Oxley team to make sure whatever's done so in a Sarbanes-Oxley compliant manner. So we're really kind of stepping up again the corporate governance and the risk parameters, making sure we've got all areas of the business covered. And we'll use that time period between now and March 1st to continue to elevate the operations from an internal standpoint. So what was important to shareholders and what we worked heavily on with the independent committee that was put together was, again, making sure that some of the risk was mitigated from a look-back standpoint, meaning that, again, a lot of the transactions that have happened over the past 12 months were done so from a cash basis. And we, as much as we wanted to be able to value it on a look-back forward basis, nobody felt comfortable with doing that, again, because a lot of the operational standards from a public company standpoint were in place for a private company. And that being said, now those are in place, which is why they determined to structure it on a go forward basis with having those financial and economic caps put on the cap table in terms of an acquisition cost. So I think that's what people like the most out of the transaction. People are only, again, going to end up paying for what actually happens from a productivity standpoint over the next 12 months. But the real beauty and the real synergy of this transaction is not even economic in nature. It's operational in nature. We've just inherited what I think is one of the best operating teams in the country. The partners that we've had on the private side are one of the longest operating medical marijuana operators in the state of California. Remember, the state of California has had legislation for almost 20 years, if not about 20 years right now. And these guys have been operating for about 18 to 19 years in that space. So they're going to bring that expertise. Our team has just inherited a tremendous amount of skill sets and qualified people that are not only going to help continue to build out the infrastructure and our brand awareness in California, but also they're also going to be helping us develop the protocols and operational standard operating procedures in the state of Nevada as well.
Well, one thing I've noticed over the years in working with you is vertical integration is a big part of what you do with all of your subsidiaries. And now with this partner, you are going to have seed to sale in California as well as Nevada. So you will be completely vertically integrated in these two states. That was the plan, obviously. Now what will the fruits of that labor be? In other words, where do you see it going from here now that you have got this market where you can bring it seed to sale?
Yeah, the beauty of that in California is twofold. First off, obviously, being seed to sale, we can control the quality of the product, and that's extremely important from a brand and reputational standpoint and a consistency standpoint, which is really the pillar of what we've built our business on. Secondarily, with the passage of 266 here in California, and we're going to see the implementation of the new regulations here in the not-too-distant future, two very important things happen. First and foremost, it's turning to a for-profit state. So the businesses that operate here are going to be able to operate from a commercial standpoint in a for-profit environment, which is obviously a great shift for us from that standpoint. Secondarily, the legislation in California did not allow for vertical integration. So the permits and the permits to operate they're going to be handing out here in the coming years, they're not going to be allowed to have the full seed-to-sale cycle unless they've been permitted in by their local municipality. And there's very few local municipalities in the state of California that have done a formal merit-based permitting process, an application process. Oakland is obviously one of those. And of the people that actually went through that, not very many of them are actually owning the vertical seed to sale. So we'll actually end up in California, at least, being one of the only vertically integrated facilities in the state, which gives us, in our opinion, a great benefit from an operational standpoint against our competitors and a market penetration standpoint. Carrying that over to Nevada, same thing there. We've won all permits from a seed to sale standpoint, from cultivation to production, extraction, all the way up through retail sales. And again, our main point is to continue to develop these brands. So the Bloom retail brands, whether you visit our location in Oakland, California, or one in Reno, or any one of our three that are around, conveniently located around the Strip, you're going to walk into a facility with the same look and feel and have that same experience from a personal standpoint. And then you're going to have the same experience from a product standpoint, whether you're walking into Oakland or whether you're walking into our Western or Desert Inn location. And you're going to be able to have that experience of the IVXX or the IVEX brand at each location as well. So we're spending a lot of energy into continuing to develop these brands, making certain that, come 5 years down the line, however long it is down the line, if bigger business, whether it's big alcohol or big tobacco, comes in, we want to create barriers to entry. And permits and owning those permits are one barrier to entry. And not being a commodity provider or player is a whole other barrier to entry. So we want to make sure we've got significant brand reputation and recognition in the industry if that ever changes and allows for competition to come in.
Well, Derek, this might be a big question to have to answer, but now that you're wrapping up this transaction, it closes, I believe, in March. What's next for the company here in 2016?
This year, to us, is really a year of building out our facilities in Nevada. We've got our first facility that will be opened up sometime in late February, early March, depending on when we get our occupancy permits from the state. And then we'll have all of our retail dispensaries open by May, the beginning of June. So we'll have all the retail facilities up and running in Nevada, and then continuing to build out the cultivation facility, which will be open in early 2017, to make sure our shelves are stocked. We're working with other providers. We're starting to develop an active wholesale market in the state. And we're also subleasing some space from another cultivator to make sure that we're actually growing and cultivating at least some semblance of our own product while we're waiting for our cultivation facilities to be finished. So Nevada's the primary focus, and obviously the integration of Bloom and the closing of that merger. And we think it's going to be, like I said, very accretive for shareholders. And I think, you know, we're going to be able to see some great earnings and some great bottom line as we integrate the financials of both companies. So I should be putting out an earnings estimate here in the not-too-distant future so people have an idea of what we think we can achieve over the 2016 year. But the primary efforts and energies right now are going into building out Nevada, integrating Bloom up in Northern California. We're also on a pretty aggressive merger and acquisition campaign right now. The time is ripe. We've got the team to be able to pull this off, so we're looking for other stuff that's short-term accretive in the major markets that we're focusing on right now, which is Nevada and California.
Well, it's pretty easy to figure out who TerraTech is, and you could do so via press release. TRTC is the ticker symbol, and within these press releases, in the About section, are links to everything, like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can learn more about the company Edible Garden, for instance, at their Facebook page. It's all here, and you can find it also at the website, TerraTechCorp.com. Well, Derek, as always, an absolute pleasure. Congratulations on this transaction. We look forward to great things from you in 2016, and we look forward to having you back here on the show to talk about it again. Thanks, Derek.
Thanks, Stuart. Take care. Talk to you soon.
All right. For Derek Peterson, this is Stuart Smith saying thanks so much for listening.
SmallCapVoice.com, today's leader in investor relations, capital formation, and retail support, provides its clients with the highest level of service. Our audio interviews are disseminated to one of the largest opt-in audiences available today. How? We at SmallCapVoice.com believe in aligning and affiliating ourselves with other leaders within the investor relations community. By sharing resources, each affiliated firm is made that much stronger and each client is served that much better. Our focus is to identify and provide the very best financial services and solutions available to clients and their shareholders. For more information about our services, please call us at 512-267-2430 or visit us on the web at www.smallcapvoice.com.